from the snack bar at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, Daredevil, Marksman, Attorney, Statesman, there just aren't enough words. The legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers. A man whose banjo playing will bring young women to tears. Richard J. Ringhausen. Also featuring the six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion. Winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who only wrestles alligators because there's nothing else more fearsome. The youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show. Are you ready? Alan J. Ringhausen!
Bonanza.
The map always burned up at the beginning, right?
Yeah. The very first thing they did, they stuck the
Brandon iron
on it, set it on fire.
Yeah, I don't know if it's there's something sticky on this chair I'm sitting in, or if it's something sticky on my shirt and I brought it with me.
I think it's something sticky that you brought with you. Place is clean, man. Stop. God, you look like an animal scratching yourself. Do you like drag yourself around on the carpet at okay, home?
Here's a bigger issue with that intro. Since when were you the daredevil?
Since I got married.
The only daredevil event was actually walking down the aisle.
Yeah, it was. Okay. Churchill Downs, that's in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, I've been there.
100 times delivering apples, but never to the Downs.
Oh, right? I've been there and watched the races before.
You have not. Have you ever?
Sure I have.
Well, I think you're lying. But thing that I found out about Churchill Downs, I mean, a lot of people, the only time they pay attention to horse races is
those three races.
Kentucky Derby, Preakness, and
Watch the Kentucky Derby. If the same horse doesn't win the second one, they don't watch the
Nobody
third
one. Nobody watched the third one, right. But did you know that, if you go down to the racetrack just outside of St. Louis, on race day, they'll have like 10 races, right?
Yeah.
And they'll have races all the time. Churchill Downs just like that, too. Kentucky Derby is just one of the races on the bill that day. They run like 10 horse races throughout the day.
It's an event.
Right. And most of those races, nobody cares about. I mean, the horses that lose are made into dog food, and that's the way it is. You don't even think about it. It's only that one race that everyone makes a big deal out of.
It's not uncommon for a horse to go down during the race.
Yeah.
And they have to put it down. That's fact. Happens all the time. Not every race, but, a lot.
If they put the jockey down, too, there'd be a lot less of that, wouldn't there?
Well, here's a question. Do we need jockeys? Could you just return these horses? Eventually, they'd be trained, like having some kind of snack at the end. I mean, that's how they run certain animals. They have a prize at the end.
Okay, go to, I got a list of different animal events here.
Is this and what I'm looking at?
Yeah, go to page 2 at the bottom, I think.
They're not, nothing's numbered here.
Well, the one that says greyhound jockeys. Monkey jockeys. Capuchin monkeys trained to ride racing dogs for sport over.
Oh, greyhound jockeys or monkey jockeys. A greyhound, okay.
Okay, if you had the choice of going to watch greyhounds race with or without Capuchin monkeys riding on them in little saddles and...
Gotta go with the monkeys.
And it's the same with horse races.
So you're comparing the little men to little monkeys?
I'm just saying it's more interesting having a rider on them in colorful little outfits.
Has there ever been an instance of a rider falling off?
Oh, I'll bet so. Have you not seen Ben-Hur?
What?
Well, he fell off and got trampled.
That's chariot races, four wide. Just that. We're talking apples and oranges right there.
Yeah, you know that big scene in the chariot race at
the end? Wonderful.
Where they're just leaning over, whipping each other?
Yeah.
You know that happens in horse races, too.
Ben-Hur did not whip the other guy.
No.
He did not whip the Roman.
No, I know that because he had
white horses.
And he was the hero and the good guy. But in real horse racing?
Oh, you're not allowed to hit the other guy from what I...
Oh, man, it happens all the time.
It may happen, but I'm thinking it's frowned
that
on.
You get fined or, you know, penalized in some manner. But I'll bet it still happens. You know, you're coming down and you get bumped by some guy and you got a riding crop in your hand. And it's some guy that's like, you know, cheats at cards during at the bunkhouse. You know, you don't really like him. You know you're giving him a crack with the whip.
Wow. You've got weird relationships with guys you play cards with, Rick.
Yeah, like you wouldn't do it. But anyway, you know, horse racing is a big thing. And you get a little bit of dog racing in America, but those are not the only animals.
Never been
sports.
To a dog race.
Oh, dog races are pretty cool.
I think the only creatures that I have watched race, I've been to the racetrack. First time I went was with my wife, my oldest daughter, and her husband, Alex. And went to a racetrack along the ocean called Del Mar Racetrack.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal out there. You know, they have big stake races and stuff like that.
But you couldn't name a race there.
No, gosh, not. But it's a beautiful setting. It's a great place. And that was my introduction to horse racing. So now any racetrack I go to after that, not so nice.
You know, without insulting you too much, you're not particularly large of stature.
I'm not horse jockey sized. That's what you're getting to.
Well, that's what I was wondering whether you ever...
Those guys are only like 110, 120 pounds. They're really small.
Whether you ever thought about being a jockey at one point in your life?
Motorcycle jockey.
Right.
So what they call them on Mad Max? Speed jockeys, scoop jockeys.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, but you won't even hit a guy with a riding whip, and now you want to be part of Mel Gibson's Mad Max crew,
riding
around killing people?
You know, there was an era over there in Australian movie making that they were pushing the limit on dangerous stunts, and that first Mad Max movie was one of them, like the guy getting hit in the head with the motorcycle after it crashed.
Yeah.
And they kept it in the... Part of the movie.
As well they should. You know, you have some horrible accident where someone's seriously injured. You know, if I'm seriously injured like that, and I've given up that part of my life for it, I'd sure as a shoot wanted it to be on screen.
That's me, right there. That's where I lost my arm.
Okay. So I looked up other sports worldwide where they have animals.
Whoa.
Oh, you're not done.
Wasn't done with the things that I've seen racing.
Oh, okay. What else have you seen racing?
Turtles.
Okay. Let me talk to you about that. In looking this up, this topic, competitive turtle racing, there's a guy that patented this big mat for turtle racing, and it's simply a mat with a big circle on it and a small circle in the middle where you put the turtles under a bucket.
Isn't that what we did?
Isn't that what everyone on Earth who's ever raced turtles did?
Probably.
I say that like there's just... Like half the people on Earth race turtles.
And he had a patent for that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll tell the story about our turtle racing business. But I've also seen pigs racing at the Illinois State Fair in Springfield.
I've seen that, too. And, you know, they don't beat the pigs.
They're out for food, man.
Apparently, the pig race is the way that works is, you know, they open the gate and all the pigs run. Because there's feed at the end of it.
Right.
There's feed, but there's also a cookie. And only the first pig
gets
to eat the cookie. Right. So that's what they're running for.
Does baby race count?
No. Dachshund races? You've seen dachshund races?
Not in person.
Didn't you just see two of them do it?
Well, that's not the same.
And they were fleet of foot, weren't
they? Now, in St. Louis, Missouri, they have the dachshund parade and... They have races
at
that.
Dachshund races, yeah. What is it about dachshunds that people think that's more, instead of having like bulldog?
They're so cute. They have such little legs. They can hardly run.
Bulldog races. Yeah, but you've seen that long one, the black one of mine.
Oh, it's a speed demon.
Oh, yeah. It really puts him down. He's a picks speed, him up and puts him down.
He's a speed jockey.
He just needs a little monkey on his back.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's what that term came from, having a
monkey
on
your
back.
I don't know. Let's see, what else have I seen race?
Elephants.
I've not seen elephants race in real life.
You've ridden an elephant?
I have ridden on an elephant.
Oh, you've not ridden an elephant?
Oh, I most certainly have. There are photos of me on an elephant. The circus came to town, and, you know,
oh, and they just let everybody ride the elephants when the circus comes.
No,
it
no,
sounds like
no,
the greatest
no,
show on
no.
earth scene where they come right they, through the town.
They,
When's the last time the circus came through
they,
Jerseyville?
They had this promotional thing with the radio station, and so that they could get some advertising going and stuff, they invited the morning disc jockey to come over and be the guest ringmaster. So I get backstage, you know, behind the big tent, and they said, up on its back, you're going to ride in wearing this top hat.
Did you have to wear tights?
I did not.
Like purple tights?
You mean, other than ones I wore there?
Like the Great Sebastian?
No, I did not. But I wore a top hat, and I, you know, they had the, you know, they poke it with those sticks, you know, right behind the front leg.
Yeah.
Like a little prod, and they make him kneel down, and you step up on his... like on his knee and then up over his back and ride right in behind his ears. And I rode in, and you know, they hand me a cordless mic and I did the thing. Welcome, my friends!
To the show that never ends!
So, yeah, I've ridden on an elephant. Hmm. We weren't racing.
Did
I wasn't an elephant jockey.
Did it, like, pick you up with its trunk and, like, carry you around on its trunk?
In its mouth? No, we didn't do any of that stuff.
Yeah. That's still pretty
and,
good.
Did I lay my head down? You know, and so he could, you know, like pretend like he's stepping on it. And they're like, no, wrong elephant.
You know, I was reading about wrestling. You know, we talk about alligator wrestling. But they also have other types of wrestling.
You mean other critters?
Yeah.
Like wrestling a gorilla?
It says bears have long been a part of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
The guys will wrestle a bear for real?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen old video clips of guys wrestling bears, and I mean, they're really going at it. Well, you don't want too big of a bear. You're not going to wrestle a grizzly or a Kodiak. But
it says they're usually declawed and muzzled.
There you go.
I'm thinking a good-sized bear.
Still club you pretty good with this paw, I would think.
Yeah.
But I don't think they were wrestling a really big bear.
It says World Wrestling Federation champion Bruno Sammartino wrestled an orangutan in a match.
Man, that's tough. I mean, those are strong animals there.
It said the match lasted for 15 minutes with Sammartino earning $25 for each 5 minutes.
Oh.
You know, that's not very much, is it? You have $25, that's $5 a minute. If I'm going to wrestle an orangutan, I think I'd want a little more cash than that.
What'd the orangutan get?
It says Sammartino expressed that he was under the impression that the ape would be a monkey and that he only took the match because he was relatively desperate for money at the time as a newly debuted wrestler. He also stated that the match was very painful and unsafe as the animal was not trained to perform. That sounds like
wrestling
something.
A wild monkey.
An orangutan, no less. It sounds like the sort of thing you and your buddies had concocted in a bar. Some guy brings a monkey in like that or a big orangutan. Someone in the bar is going to wrestle it, don't you figure?
Well, before the night's over, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, there's calf wrestling, you know, like where they, you know, like hog tie a calf. You know, they have to get the calf and then flip it up in the air and tie all four of his feet.
Yeah, that's just your ordinary rodeo stuff.
But it's called calf. Well, I guess calf roping. I thought it was cattle wrestling.
Could be. Look at the top one there on that wrestling.
Camel?
Yeah.
Camel wrestling.
That's not people wrestling camels. That's the camels wrestling each other. They're specially trained to wrestle each other.
It says it's when one of the camels is in heat. That ain't wrestling.
No, it does not say that. It says the two male, it's two male camels wrestling each other, and they'll have a female in heat nearby.
So they're fighting over the female.
Yes.
Okay.
But they're trained to do it to where they put the other one on the ground.
Oh, one has to knock the other one down.
Yeah, and they use their necks as leverage to force the opponent to fall down. Most fighting camels are bred in Iran or Afghanistan. There's a surprise. A successful camel can be sold for over $20,000. Read that last line, though.
The events can occasionally be hazardous to spectators if the camels attempt to flee through the crowd.
Oh, you gotta like that, huh?
Some occasions, fights also break out between the owners of the camels.
I'm guessing that's happened for about 2,000 or 3,000 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had a...
Of course, if you
we
see...
had a camel owner from Jerusalem taking on a camel owner from Nazareth, and it did not end well.
Probably not. But, you know, you've seen pictures of, like, the Saudi desert, right? Or even the Sahara desert.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just nothing. It's like, what, 2,000 or 3,000 miles of nothing?
Nothing.
I mean, the people who live there, you know, the nomads who live in the desert like that, those are some tough people.
You know, there's an area in, you know, you're talking about the Sahara Desert. There's an area where there is a valley has developed over the decades and centuries, and the wind continues to, like, scour through this notch. And now it has scoured down to where it has exposed the bones of ancient whales, where there was once a sea.
No kidding.
Yeah. And, I mean, they're giant.
Well, that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
It's not what you expect. You don't expect to find whale bones in the middle of the desert.
You do not.
I don't. Suppose. Maybe some people do.
You know that business of the two male camels fighting for each other, and you just have that female camel in heat to motivate them?
Yeah.
Doesn't the same thing happen in high schools all over the United States?
Pretty much, yeah.
Look at the bottom of one of these other pages here, where they have hamster races.
Well, hamster races could be kind of cool.
Yeah, but it's better than you think. It's not just the hamsters racing through tubes for a cracker or a pellet or whatever.
Oh, okay, I see what they're doing. They're in, like, little dragsters.
They're in little dragsters, and they're powered by a hamster wheel.
And a hamster ball.
Yeah. But they're like, long, you know, dragsters.
Right. Oh, that would make it far more interesting.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, it's just like you said last week.
You know, who thought that up?
Tipping the feeder over, and they just all run out. You want to? I'd like to see my hamsters in little drag racers, yeah.
In a ball.
Ideally wearing little outfits.
Little race suits.
Yeah, with, you know, endorsement patches all over.
So if they look kind of like Stuart Little?
Did he race?
No, but he was always dressed to the hilt.
I guess that's true. Let's see what else we got.
I would watch hamster races. Guinea pig races. Any of those little creatures, that'd be good.
Oh, you were going to tell about the turtle races.
Oh, yeah. Just the whole kind of process. We grew up in an orchard, and during the summertime, we spent a lot of time mowing the orchard between the rows of fruit trees, whether it's apples, peaches, you know, pears, plums, whatever.
Every 2 weeks for about 4 months.
Yeah. And one of the things that was common as you were going through the orchard was to see a box turtle just kind of scoot along. They
tortoise.
It wasn't a tortoise. It was a box turtle.
Turtles are aquatic animals. The ones you see on ground are tortoises.
I think if you look it up, it's an eastern box turtle or a western box turtle that have a hinge to open and close.
Well, fortunately, I know that you're wrong on this, but go ahead with your story. We'll call them turtles for purposes of your story.
Okay, because I think that most people, when they see a turtle, here in North America, they don't think of it as a tortoise. There might be a few tortoises in the desert out west.
I assume that people who listen to this show want accuracy.
Okay.
But go ahead with your story.
Okay. Are you saying that what we collected were not box turtles?
They were box tortoises, that's correct.
Okay. And how many times in your life, when we were collecting these creatures, did you refer to it as a tortoise? Found another tortoise today. It's in the toolbox of the D-19.
I'm smarter now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So anyway, as we were tooling around out in the orchard, we would pick up these turtles, and bring it back. And we came up with the idea of collecting them one summer.
And like you said, it was interesting. You'd see them on the tractor, and you know, you were kind-hearted. You weren't going to mow a turtle.
Right.
So you'd stop the tractor, get off, and like you said, put it in the toolbox.
Right.
Because, you know, what's it going to
give it a ride.
Give it a ride. Save its life.
Yeah. And they weren't mean or, you know, like they didn't bite you or anything. You know, so you kept away from them a little bit. They usually just retracted into their shell and hid and waited for you to do something with them. So we started collecting them. And I think that first season, what, we get around 20 or so?
Yeah, probably.
And we decided to build them a little pen out by the barn.
Corral.
Yeah, a turtle corral. And started putting them in it. And we went out to check on them. And they're like, gone.
Gone.
You know, where the hell did they go?
I mean, we got some of them back because you could.
Yeah.
After all, they were turtles.
Right.
They didn't go that fast.
They burrowed under the fence.
Would you have thought that turtles could dig like that?
Not like that. It never crossed my mind. So then we decided, well, we'll fix this. And we lined the bottom with chicken wire and chicken wire up the sides of the wooden gate so they couldn't get through.
And covered the bottom with dirt then.
And yeah, cover. And we came back. They're gone again.
Those turtles
can climb chicken wire.
You wouldn't think it, but you know, we had that thing. It was made with cattle panels,
yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
To where cattle panels start real narrow at the bottom and they get wider as you go up. Those turtles would climb up that fence to where it was wide enough for them to fit through and go over, fall out the other side, and escape.
Amazing. I mean, just absolutely amazing. So then we lined the inside with the slick material that they couldn't climb up.
Yeah, some vinyl floor covering.
And
a strip of that.
We kept them in there, and then we started numbering them,
and
to kind of keep track of them. And you know, each time we'd put another one in there, we'd number it, and then we decided to have some races with them. And it was interesting.
Apparently, we violated some guy's patent doing that.
Yeah, well, maybe we were doing it before he had his patent. When was his patent issued?
Probably wasn't in the 80s, was it? Or
70s? Probably not. We were doing this in the 70s. So anyway, we would have turtle races, and you know, it was quite fun. And finally,
the turtle race, for those who are uninitiated, pretty much involves taking a hula hoop, putting it down on the ground, and then putting all the turtles under a bucket in the middle, and you lift it and say go, and whichever one gets to the hula hoop first wins the race.
Right. And you know, eventually we kind of figured out which ones were the faster turtles, because some were faster and some were slower.
And that, and so, you might think that that's really boring, but when you take them to a bar and everybody's been drinking all day, it becomes a lot more exciting.
Yeah, it does. And then we built a 2x4 track.
Oh, yeah, to where they could only go one direction.
Slots, and they didn't really want to go until we gave them motivation, and that was put food at the other end. And the food that really enticed, you know, brought a box turtle to life. Do you remember what it was?
Slices of apples.
Apples, but even more was watermelon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They would eat watermelon.
They would eat a watermelon like crazy. They went wild.
It was all you could do to not have them take your hand off. What I was reading about these turtle races, though, the guy that did them,
yeah,
he had a problem in that...
You ran out of watermelon?
No, they had an issue where had a race, and one of the women spectators who had bet on him picked up the winning turtle and was going to kiss it, and it bit her on the nose and wouldn't let go.
Oh, yeah.
It just clamped on and was, I guess, you know, she's like screaming and stuff. And they
We had one bite a dog on the nose. Remember that?
I do not remember that.
Yeah, one of our dogs, it went up, touched the turtle, and the turtle bit it on the nose, and the dog was yelping and going crazy. And
they are ferocious.
Yeah.
I remember they're cousins of the alligator.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Distant.
Wrestling alligators is probably harder than wrestling turtles, so I will grant that.
You ever watch these guys that go diving into the water and reach into holes and crevices along the riverbanks and pull out giant catfish? That's almost a form of wrestling. You ever see that going on?
What do they call that?
Noodling.
Yeah, where you know they kind of rest under those bars, and you're just going to stick your hand down blind, reach under a log under the water, and tickle a catfish and just drag it out.
That's right. Actually, they reach into the catfish's mouth and grab him by the gill from the inside and pull him out.
Have you ever tried that?
God, no.
You're not insane, right? Wait, I got a commercial for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. It's another thing from Uncle Den. Tired of biting into bits of shell in your egg salad sandwich? I don't like that. Well, suffer no more. When you're ready to make your next egg delicacy, reach for a carton of Uncle Den's shellless eggs. That's right. Your favorite culinary genius, Uncle Den, has patented, just like the guy that patented the mat for turtle racing, has patented a secret method of getting his chickens to lay shellless eggs. As everybody knows, just inside the average egg is a membrane surrounding the inner egg. By increasing the thickness and non-permeability of the endoplasmic membrane, Uncle Den has been able to do away with the shell. And by safely and slightly simmering the chickens prior to the laying, the eggs are just soft-boiled enough to maintain their structural integrity without the need for a shell. And don't worry about eating that membrane. It's the same substance as human hair and therefore entirely safe to digest. So the next time you're at the store, just reach for a carton of Uncle Den's shellless eggs. They're exactly what you're looking for.
Don't walk away from the commercial just yet. Did you say that they simmer the chicken before it lays the egg?
To cause the egg inside of it to firm up.
Okay. So they do that by microwave or?
No, he puts them in a vat like a hot tub.
Okay.
For chickens.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he's cooking.
Awesome.
He's not really cooking them.
He's pampering them.
He's not where they're being tortured or nothing.
He's pampering them.
You've gone to a swimming pool and hopped in a hot tub, haven't you?
That's one of the things I don't do. I don't get in a hot tub, ever. That is germ city, man.
How about a bathtub? I'm guessing not ever there either.
You're not going to rile me up. Rile me up. What does that even mean? I'm riled.
Poking the bear.
Okay, well, I had another question here. You said, is there anything you hate worse than biting into an egg and getting a piece of shell? It's a horrible feeling, right?
It is a horrible feeling.
What are the other things that you can bite into that is a horrible feeling when you bite into it and like, oh, God, that shouldn't be in there?
Oh, aluminum foil.
Oh, yeah.
Especially since, you know, we grew up in an era where there was no fluoride in the water and every tooth in my mouth has like a metal filling in it. You bite into a piece of aluminum foil, there's a science experiment going on there. It generates electricity.
There is something about that that... It just aggravates the nerve down deep, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then your dentist takes a metal aluminum tool or steel tool and touches all your fillings with it.
I don't know how much wild game you eat, but
that would be none.
Biting into, you know, like a wild rabbit or a wild squirrel or a wild duck that's been shot.
Oh, yeah, and have shot in it.
And it has a speck of shot.
You just kind of spit them out, don't you? Like watermelon seeds?
Along with the piece of tooth that it broke off. Are you done? You ever chew on something and the thing you're chewing on pulls a filling out?
Oh, you mean like taffy or something, yeah.
Can I tell you about that? We got one of our congressmen, United States congressmen. You and I were at the Illinois State Fair again. Watching the hog races, obviously. And next to us there, we look over and here's United States Senator Dick Durbin.
He wasn't a senator then, though. He's a U.S. representative. He started off.
He may have been. And he had a bag of saltwater taffy and offered us each a piece of taffy.
Because that's a big thing at the State Fair.
It is a big thing at the State Fair. And I said, well, sure. And I took it. I mean, just first bite, didn't pull out a filling. And that no good... rotten politician didn't pay for it.
That's the first thing. He just walked away, didn't he?
Just walked away. Just, oh, well, good luck with that.
You know, and he's a pretty good guy.
I'm just joking. He was a good guy.
But he didn't pay for your filling.
He did not pay for my filling. But years later.
But he did give you a piece of taffy.
He did give me a piece of taffy. Years later, when he was a United States Senator, I was in Chicago. I was in Chicago for a conference. And, Sarah had came along with me, and we had our oldest daughter was a small child at the time, and Sarah sends me out at some ungodly hour to find a carton of milk in downtown Chicago at night. So I go out and I get in the elevator, and the door to the elevator opens, and I step in, and the only other guy in there is
Dick Durbin.
Dick Durbin. And I kind of look at him, and I said, hello, Senator Durbin. And he says, well, how's it going? How's the apple crop this year?
I thought you were going to say, did you get that tooth fixed?
And I punched you right in the nose.
No, you reached in your wallet, pulled out the bill. I've been carrying this for the last 25
right there,
years.
Right there. When are you going to make good on this?
You
huh?
owe me $87.
Huh? When are you going to? But, you know, here I am out of context, totally.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And that he put Ringhausen, apples, and the whole thing together and was that sharp. That's a politician for you. Yeah, that's
grade A politician.
That's why he's still a politician today. Anyway, Rick,
what?
We're out of time.
Oh, there's no way.
We are absolutely out of time.
I didn't even get to talk about
it. And so I must bid you adieu.
adieu to you and you and you.
See you later.
Rick Gator.
Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken. But it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. With that legal in hand, see you later. So long, Wiedersehen. From Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network.